I'm in a tranquil oasis. It's absolutely beautiful. I feel like I've gone back into the wilderness, yet I'm on the outskirts of Nairobi. I've been delivered by a really friendly driver to Roz's house. Roz, what do you do?
I work for an NGO called Global Witness, and I'm the Forest and Climate Campaign Manager.
I can see where you get a lot of your inspiration.
Yeah, we're surrounded by trees. Yes, now this is the Karura Forest.
So what kind of things are you guys working on and who are you working with right now?
Well, actually, we're working on something called RED, which is a mechanism for reducing emissions from deforestation and forest degradation. And it's being negotiated under the Climate Change Convention. It has been for the last couple of years. And so we're trying to campaign for the best deal possible. In effect, this mechanism will transfer large sums of money to developing countries to protect forests.
We need a lot of persuasion for developing countries to protect forests now, because it's effectively just standing money to a lot of people, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, it's actually quite complex. It sounds simple, but it's complex. And there are a number of risks involved, mainly around corruption, poor governance. So we're working to try and put safeguards into the mechanism.
Do you have a website where people can go and check out what's going on?
Yep, our Global Witness website, globalwitness.org.
Fantastic. What's your history then when it comes to this kind of work?
I've been doing this work for 24 years, but...
we might not have that long, but I believe you were involved, I was going to say involved in the ivory trade. That's the wrong way to word it, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I worked on ivory trade issues since 88, investigating illegal ivory trade, exposing it through reports, and campaigning to end the trade.
And I guess this is how I've ended up here. People said, before you leave Kenya, you must speak to Roz. And, of course, I've been with the Kenyan Wildlife Service, and it's incredible to see the work they're doing. But it wasn't until last night that I actually got to see some really, really horrific images of what happens when poachers get hold of animals and remove the ivory. Have you come into much contact in your time?
Yes, I have. When I first came to Kenya in 1988, there was serious poaching here in the parks. And there was a lot of ivory going out from Kenya and Tanzania through the Middle East and then on to Hong Kong and the Far East. And so it was so bad that the president at the time, President Moi, hired Richard Leakey to found Kenya Wildlife Service and clean up the parks, pretty much. They burned the ivory that they had at the time. It was a very public burning. And this was just prior to a meeting in 1989 of CITES, the Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species. And this is where we campaigned to get a ban on international trade in ivory approved.
It's fantastic work that's been done. Do you see much hope in the new laws that are meant to be coming out to protect wildlife in Kenya?
Well, we need higher penalties than we have at the moment. I mean, we just it is. And there's a real problem. New legislation has been drafted, and when it's eventually approved, it will substantially increase the penalties for poaching and trafficking. But at the moment, it's they get a fine and they're sent away. And we quite regularly get seizures at the airport, right. And there's been some quite big seizures of ivory going out in the last year to countries like Thailand. Mm-hmm. So ivory coming through Kenya.
Is there much hope in kind of reducing the market, therefore making ivory less worthwhile, or is it just too ingrained in people's traditions and in their history that they really feel like they have to have this for medicine or whatever?
It's tough. I think it's not impossible. But what it makes it difficult, though, when you have... We've had a couple of legalized sales of ivory stocks from southern Africa. Kenya has opposed those sales, along with a number of other African countries in the African Elephant Coalition. But Kenya sees an increase in poaching after these sales have taken place. And we've had two stockpile sales so far. One was in 1999 and one was last year. Was it like, or 2000?
Were they not arguing the opposite, saying that actually the opposite happens, that when you sell, it doesn't necessarily go up? They were trying to force this point, weren't they?
Yeah, well, it's controversial and there are differences of opinion. Kenya has seen increases in poaching after the sales, but it's something that's actually very difficult to prove on a continent-wide basis. As far as we're concerned, we consider that while you have legal sales, it makes it very, it sends very confusing messages through to the consumer, and that's one thing. But the other thing, it makes it very difficult to enforce, because then it becomes a question of what's legal ivory and what's not legal ivory, and so you have to have pretty strict controls in place to ensure that legalized ivory is what reaches the shops and that's what's sold. But to be frank, there are so many loopholes, so many ways to launder illegal ivory into the system that it's very hard to ensure that it is legal ivory on sale at the other end.
And there's a very strange mentality around all of this. It's kind of interesting, the first conversation that I got involved in on landing in Kenya was with a member of the KWS. I think NWS is what my phone keeps trying to spell check KWS to. Just a gentleman waiting for a bus at the airport who insisted that let's let nature take its natural course. These animals are going to be extinct anyway, so why don't we just... And he was speaking like an ivory dealer, and he could well have been an ivory dealer. Even the KWS said, oh, he may well be an ivory dealer. And I thought, hang on, how could I just possibly land and get into a conversation with someone who might be an ivory dealer? It dawned on me immediately how very, very real this is, and what an important job the Kenya Wildlife Service do. So, thank you very much for a conversation. You very kindly brought me a local beer, which I'm going to drink before getting ready to catch a flight. But I'll definitely be checking out what you guys are doing. Are you still using Twitter? You used Twitter for campaigning recently.
Yes, we did. We used Twitter from the climate meetings we were at last year, but we haven't used it as much as we should. And so we're looking into using it a bit more extensively.
Brilliant. So I'm sure that if you Google Global Witness, you'll find all kinds of goodness. Possibly even that's how you got here and heard this. Thanks very much, Ros.
Thank you.
Oh, and as a final point, please tell me who is doing kind of the most important work around the ivory trade in Kenya at the moment.
Apart from Kenya Wildlife Service, there are NGOs working on ivory issues.
Just been joined very quietly and subtly. Who are you, sir? Oh, he's silent. He's going off the record. He's got a mouthful of peanuts. He's sneaking off. That was your husband, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was. he's fixing cars.
Carry on.
Another hat I wear is the David Shepherd Wildlife Foundation, and for many years I've attended CITES meetings for them. CITES is the Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species, and that's where issues like ivory trade, rhino horn trade, live animal trade, it's discussed, and measures to control, ban the trade. Are decided there. This is the international trade across borders. Yeah. And so I have worked with KWS on their preparations for these meetings in the past. And then there are a number of other NGOs in Kenya who also work actively and support the work of KWS.
Well, we're going to... I'll definitely get Darren, who's tagged Darren on Twitter, mm-hmm. And who I've been working with here, tag International Development, and I'll get him to collate some of these links and some of these lists. It would be great to just see one blog post and everybody that's working in this area. It would be nice to get it all in one big group. Interesting to see what kind of action's going on.
Mm. Well, we have the African Elephant Coalition, which was which campaigned in the run-up to CITES in Doha just recently, has a number of, a number of countries in it, but also NGOs who support countries in their position on ivory. So one is I4, International Fund for Animal Welfare, mm-hmm. Born Free Foundation, and Species Survival Network, of which we're members. Okay. And so, yes.
A lot of good work, but then a massive, massive job. So thanks again. We're going to get back to nibbles and beer definitely this time. Thanks, Rob.